Brian.
All right, thanks. As Drew said, my seminar title is Predicting Landowner Enrollment in Government Assistance Programs on the Tennessee Northern Cumberland Plateau. So, all right, provide a little bit of research and justification. The Tennessee Northern Cumberland Plateau has experienced some large population growth in the last half century. We're looking at about 5% per year, especially in the last 10 years, from Jeff Strickland, 2003. As a result, the loss of forest area to development, fragmentation, urbanization leading to decreases in timber quality, wildlife habitat, and water quality. This urbanization fragmentation is a result of some of its divestment of land by timber companies, and then some of it also has to do with large landholders as they die or as they need money. They sell their land off, and then it gets subdivided down by either the heirs or the people they sell to. From 1982 to 1992, there's been a loss of 178,900 acres of forest area. And these are necessary to deter forest loss, for example, conservation assistance programs, which is what I'm going to talk about. Just to give you an idea, looking at the Tennessee Northern Cumberland Plateau, is this crossable area north, looking at Morgan, Cumberland, Fentress, Scott counties, pretty much north of I-40. So the objectives. First, I'm going to provide a little bit of background on the data set I used for this analysis. Provide a model that can be used to assess whether a landowner is likely to enroll in government assistance programs. Suggest who is likely to enroll in conservation assistance programs using the data from the models. And finally, suggest some policy implications for increasing the probability of landowners enrolling in these conservation assistance programs. So to start off with my methods, this was a secondary data analysis using data from IFAS, which is up there, collected by the Human Dimensions Lab at the University of Tennessee. It's a 2005 mil survey of 1,462 residents on the Northern Plateau. Again, it was sent to Morgan, Scott, Fentress counties, but the two biggest counties were Morgan and Cumberland. Out of the 1,462 surveys, we only got 1,010 verifiable addresses. The rest of them were returned to sender. People didn't live there anymore sort of situations. And out of that, we had a response rate of about 55%, which is 555, which is incredibly good for a mail-out survey, I think. Using the data set, variables were assigned, recoded, and analyzed using Stata. And just to give an idea, I'm not sure exactly how many variables there were, but there were well over 100 or different questions on the survey. So what I did was I went through and figured out what was important from the literature and pulled my variables from that, and then used Stata to recode these and then to run some diagnostics to find out if I had the distributions I needed for these variables, and also to make sure that collinearity wasn't a problem. I assess collinearity just to kind of talk about that in here, but and how it wasn't an issue. What I did was I ran ordinary least square regression, and variance inflation factors, and also looked at the correlation matrix to make sure that it wasn't in there. So yeah, I think in correlation matrices, anything below a 0.8 is pretty good. Mine was a 0.4. And VIF, anything below a 10 means you don't have a lot of collinearity. Mine was a 2. So I had a pretty good data set. Now, I know you can't read this, so I'm going to talk about it. These are the variables that I used. Step over here so I can explain it. But I used logit regression because I had a dependent variable that was dichotomous. It was one situation. They either enrolled or they didn't in conservation assistance programs. It was a yes if they had enrolled in Greenbelt Forest Program, the Wildlife Habitat Program, Conservation Reserve Program, Ownership Incentive Program, Wetland Reserve Program, Forest Land Enhancement Program, and the Wildlife Habitat Incentive Program, alphabet soup. Had 14 independent variables. I put the signs in parentheses. First, I had a continuous variable, acre, just the amount of land that they increased with acreage. The next one, 10-year, the amount of time they own the land, again, another continuous variable. Dichotomous variable, female, they're either female or they're not. High school, did they have a high school education? This is an interesting variable. If you look at the literature, a lot of times when people assess this, they look at college education. But the population of the plateau is such that that wasn't a really good variable to use because the education levels were a little bit lower. So after looking at the college, after trying to assess whether college would be a good variable or not, they just, you know, so it had to be a high school. age, another continuous variable, age of the landowner. And then I had three variables that are dichotomous. What is the reason for ownership? Did they own it because it was an important financial investment? Did they own the land because they thought timber quality was important? Or did they own it because they thought water quality was, or timber production, I mean, or did they own it because water quality was important to them? So those, again, are dichotomous. It either was important or it wasn't. So those are three. Two more dichotomous variables, harvest and plant. Had they harvested before? Had they planted before? These variables we're looking at, are they active managers? And then a couple of variables, dichotomous, to look at whether they had ever received information on these programs before. Had they received information from a government agency, such as TDEC, the USDA Forest Service, the NRCS, the Farm Bureau, SWCD, or a county extension? Have they received information from a forester before, information from the media, or information from an environmental organization? So, talk about my model. Again, I used logit regression because it was a dichotomous dependent variable, I mean. I also had the ability, I could have used Probit, but I chose logit. I had one dependent variable, 14 independent variables, and my model looked a little something like this. Logit probability of enroll equaling ones dependent upon the independent variables I just discussed. These independent variables mainly came from a study by Nagabadi et al. In 1996. The variables they used, luckily it lined up with the information I had from the survey. Also, I ran a second research model with one dependent variable and six independent variables. This time, though, I only included the variables whose coefficients exceeded their standard errors and whose significant at the 0.05 level or above in model one. The result was a more partial model, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a second, but I had two models. So talk a little bit about those model results. This is the first model. Again, I realize you can't read that, so I've done this. I've highlighted the variables that were significant in black. And model one, we saw that acreage, the continuous variable, had a positive significant effect on the enrollment of landowners. Being female had a negative effect. It's kind of interesting. I'll talk about that in a second. High school had a negative effect. Again, kind of not what I expected. Talk about that. Information from an agency, a government agency, and information from forester on the first model were likely to increase the landowner enrolling by 3 and 2 times. So this is pretty important. On the second model, acre again is it's positive correlation. Tenure, which wasn't in the first model, now shows up as being important, positive correlation. Female again is negative. This time, whether they own the land, important as a financial, long-term financial reason, shows up as a positive. And again, information from a government agency or a forester has a positive correlation. This time, 2 times more likely to enroll. So it's still pretty good. Talk a little bit about what these results mean. Model 1 was able to correctly classify 83.9% of the observations correctly, so it had a high predictive power. Model 2 relied on less independent variables and was able to correctly classify 84.3% of the observations correctly, the result being a more parsimonious model without losing any predictive power. In fact, we increased the predictive power by almost 1.5%. Talk about the expected values, because you couldn't see them on the first chart I showed. But for acreage, got a positive correlation. Land you own, more likely you are to enroll in these programs, because most of them had a cutoff. You have to have 10 acres or more. And also, you have more land to choose from. You can enter this into one program, this into another. Female, actually, that expected sign should be a positive. It was negative. The result was negative. I expected from the literature this to be a positive correlation, because all the literature showed that women are more sentimental to the environment. So ladies, you can take that as you wish. But it actually came out as a negative correlation. The reason being, I think, it's the distribution is still a little bit skewed. There are more male landowners, more male respondents in the survey, so women were kind of downplayed in the analysis. High school education, expected a positive correlation, got a negative again. I think that might have to do a little bit again with the distribution of education on the Cumberland Plateau. Information from an agency and a forester, expected positive on both, got positive on both, pretty happy about that. For the second model, again, expected a negative on the tenure, and the reason why is there was sort of an idea from the literature that the longer someone's owned the land, the more they are set in their ways, that they're not going to enroll in these programs. But ended up getting a positive. This might have something to do with the fact that you know, as they get older, maybe they need the extra income. Maybe it's good to have this money coming in on land they otherwise wouldn't use. Female, again, the sign's correct on this one. Same reason from the previous model, and important financial reason. Expected to be positive. If you want money from the land and you put it in the conservation aid program, chances are you're going to get some money on it. So again, these variables came from Nagabadi et al. in 1996. Also, the expected values I got from Bell et al., Gann et al., and Lambert et al. So who's likely to enroll in these conservation aid programs using the model? This guy? Probably not. Rumor has it he lives in a subdivision on an acre or less, so he doesn't quite have the amount of land. Also, I don't think he has the tenure there. You've only been back about 8 or 9 years. The model, you had to have at least 10 years. So who are we looking for? We're looking for Mel. Looking for someone who's lived in the same place for at least 10 years. Owns a large amount of acres, at least 100 acres. Don didn't have enough. Someone who considers the land important as a long-term financial investment. Policy implications. What does this mean? What can we use it for? How do we interact with these people and get the information to them? Well, as I said, information from a government agency greatly increases the chances they're going to enroll in a conservation assistance program. Three times more likely in the first model, 2 times more likely in the second model. Also, contact from a forester or any agent from a government agency, 2 times more likely to enroll in both situations. All right, got it down there. So, kind of to sum this up, future research. One of the problems with the model is it had to do with the lack of time, but also information. There were a lot of things I would have liked to have looked at. One would be, what's the income level of the landowner, and how important is that income to? How dependent are they on that income? Also, do they actually reside on the land? One of the things that we didn't really have access to was, is their house actually on this land, or do they just kind of own it off to the side? Or would they be more willing to participate in the program if their house is actually on the piece of property? Also, another thing that's not up here is taxes. There was a lot of information for taxes in the model, but I didn't have time to go through and recode it originally doing this. And it's something I need to go back and look at, that I know how to actually use state a little bit better. But, you know, how much are the taxes points for decision? Acknowledgements, the University of Tennessee Human Dimensions Lab, who actually did the survey, the USDA Initiative for Future Agriculture and Food Systems, IFAS, and the University of Tennessee Department of Political Science faculty, Michael Gant and David Houston, who have been a tremendous, David Houston, Michael Gant read over everything I did and made sure, you know, I wasn't full of crap. So I'd like to thank both of them. So if there are any questions, Dr. Strange?
Yeah, so if you're older, you're either setting your ways or it's poverty.
That's right.
You won't be young forever, bro.
Well, I'll touch on it. What Dr. Strange brought up is as you get older, you're more set in your ways. Well, the literature seeing the show is as you got older, well, kind of mixed, really. Age was one of those mixed things. It was a plus and negative sign, really. You're either more likely to enroll in the program because you need that extra income, you're less likely to work the land, or you're set in your ways. So it could go either way.
Or you're ecologically enlightened after
all. That could be it. Yes, sir.
Your results are giving you a testable hypothesis. How do you move from here to test that your characteristics are actually going to be representative of what will happen in the next group?
It's a good question. The question was, how do we actually move on from here and test this against the next survey? And I have to think of an answer for that. going blank here. I just want to I really. Right. Okay. I see where you're going with this. Right. The question more specifically is how can we apply this, I guess. So one of the things I was looking for when I was setting this up is how could it be applied? If we can take this information and summarize it to area managers, for instance, or to environmental organizations, they can exactly do that. They can target the landowner based on these characteristics. Do they own the right amount of land? Have they been there the right amount of time? We can find that in tax records through in GIS now. A lot of that's already in the parcel data. So yeah, I think this can be applied on the ground. Is that answering your question? I'm not, but someone after me might. Any other questions? I didn't see my picture. I didn't see my picture up there. Thank you.